episode 54 of the Minutes with the Mayor podcast. This is your second, third, fourth, whatever favorite mayor I am, as long as I'm in your heart as one of your favorite mayors, that's all that matters. Derek Montilla, thank you guys so much for joining us. As always, I am joined by my co-host, back again, Sony Claus, Mark Rios.
I'm not going to take second, third, or fourth place for anything. I'm literally your first.
No, number one in your heart.
Wholesome boy.
Yep. Already changing your Twitter name to a Christmas related Twitter name, and I hate you so
literally
much.
At midnight.
Oh,
literally
at midnight. God, I hate you so much for that. How dare you undermine Thanksgiving like that?
Yo, Thanksgiving is fine, but like I'm cooking and shit. Like it's not really much of a holiday for me. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Christmas is the shit. So many claws.
Yep. Tree's already going up. Well,
yeah, tree.
Joining me out, we'll see where he stands on this, on the burial of Thanksgiving and other topics. But joining us from Lucha Underground, my friend, one of my favorite people to argue with on Twitter, Vinny Massaro. Vinny, thank you. I guess thank you for showing up.
I guess. What do you mean? You guess?
Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
What the hell? Wow. What a.
Is that the worst intro
anyone has ever gotten on this podcast?
Wow. He's gonna come on and just. He's gonna go pro pineapple pizza on me right away. He's gonna.
Vinny's on the show. Bleh. Like damn.
Whatever.
Good lord. I guess.
No.
There's some dude. Fuck. All right. Well, can I swear?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can swear like a motherfucker on this.
Okay.
On this all right.
Okay. Good. I just want to make sure. Well, fuck you, Derek. Then.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yes. No, actually, I'll say this. One of my favorite Twitter follows because most wrestlers do not offer the content, the Twitter hashtag Twitter content that Vinny offers. So definitely follow at Snoring Elbow for wonderful, wonderful wrestling content. I love the way that you razz people, you get people riled up, but you also, I feel like you start a lot of good wrestling topics. To be honest,
I see you
start some good stuff.
I try to. I mean, I've been called a Twitter troll. I've been called out by other wrestlers as a fake piece of crap that has no talent as of late. Good shout out to Joey Janela.
Oh yeah! Wow. Okay.
Who's told me that I'm making up for talent by being on Twitter. I'm like, that's cool. So good to know. So at least you like it.
I guess I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I like arguing with you.
The other ones take it that they've made themselves into a shoot. I guess with. You know, they worked themselves into a shoot, I guess, but
yeah, you can't work
you know what I mean?
I don't know.
I like to speak my mind sometimes and I'm trying to be a little funny, try to be a little comedy, try to bring some, you know, happiness instead of everyone, just talking about how bad life in general is and how wrestling is the worst thing in the world.
Yes. There's a lot of that. I try to bring a little bit different.
In the morning. This is why I post selfies in the morning. They bring happiness and different
things. Good. And we all appreciate it. Honestly, that's all I do. I just try to bring a little bit of happiness and positivity. And some people get butthurt over it, and they can't take the truth. And, you know, they call me out on it. But go right ahead. I literally give two shits.
Do you think wrestling Twitter has essentially manifested into being like a giant wrestling forum? You know, that's what it reminds me of now is like the old forum days, but now it's just everybody has an opinion and everybody throws it out there. And most of it's so negative. Like I find myself even being, you know, negative at times. And yet my negativity pales in comparison to the negativity I find online. I'll be like, yeah, that Raw wasn't great, but it had some good points. And people are like, that was the worst Raw ever. And it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
No.
I think you were not around. Yeah, I think it's become that place where, you know, people go on there and they give their opinion, like, you know, just whatever, a mild opinion, and they realize they get not too many likes or not too many retweets, as opposed to the person that's, you know, unless you can make gifs or make cool Photoshop stuff, you know, or can come up with a funny, you know, if you don't have the, you know, something to, you know, funny to say, then you're just going to go ahead and be completely shocked. You know, shocking and going the other direction.
Sure.
And then, you know, then there's the other people that just that basically they follow everybody and they just wait for someone to say something just so they can, you know, quote it and, you know, tell them how much of an idiot they are,
right?
Or tell them, you know, call them out, or you know,
yeah, so their followers can see it and be like, oh, yeah, what an idiot.
Which is fine, you know, this was one of more people, but I wish people would realize that I actually really care. I really don't fucking care. You guys can quote tweet me and fucking at anybody you want. I don't really care. Because you can ask around any wrestlers that I've wrestled with. The way I speak on here is the way I speak in the locker room. And, you know, that you can ask around, like, all the people, you know, that have wrestled with me, you know, locally. They all have, you know, Vinny Massaro, he can be a dick. But guess what? At the end of the day, he's speaking the truth. So if you get butthurt over it, you know, it's your fault. And that's how it is, and that's how I'm going to be on Twitter. And, you know, but like I said, sometimes I'll be reading, and it's just nonstop, just constant, just people arguing, you know, like, you know what, okay, I'm at work, I'm taking a small break, I want to look at Twitter, I don't want to fucking see people complaining about storylines and, you know, burying people. So I start putting, you know, GIFs out, and you know,
ooh, you almost pronounced it with a J.
You almost, I heard that?
I heard that slip.
I was like, ew, that's gross.
That's gross, but, that's wrong. Ugh. Well, thank you. Thank you for cleansing our timeline so much of that, because I appreciate it. And
I try.
I do think, like, it does come in at an appropriate time, because I feel like sometimes when you do it, it's like people are bitching about WWE, for instance, and you'll load up on a heavy dose of, like, New Japan or some other random promotion. I'll see you start, you know, sending gifts out about. And then I don't know if your intention is that, but the message I get from it is, look at everything else that's available, you know, like it's kind of, again, it's one of those things that it's almost a positive spreading of wrestling and trying to get that word out there. And
right.
I like it.
You know, I know I thank you for that. And I just try to do it. I mean, it's at the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans. Everyone can complain how bad the product is, but I swear to God, I never see any of those people saying, hey, I missed it because you know, reading a book or playing video games. You know what I mean? No matter what, they hate it. But guess what? They know, oh, man, I hate it at the 2-hour mark when this happened. And I hate it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, for hating something, you sure are watching it.
Right. Every second of it. Right. It was like, I just tune out when I don't like it, man. I mean, people ask me details about parts I didn't like, and I'll be like, I don't know. I just didn't like it. That's why.
Right.
That's why I stopped paying attention, because I didn't like it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. I don't like, you know, WWE that much right now. It's I can watch some parts, but guess what? I don't like it that much, so I'm not gonna sit in there and watch 3 hours on Monday and 3 hours on Tuesday. I just can't do it. I'll watch the pay-per-views. So guess what? You know how I watch Raw? Through Total Divas episodes on Twitter. That's basically how I watch Raw now.
Sure.
Because there's no way I can't sit for 3 hours. It's impossible. You know,
same though. Like, and that's how I like. And YouTube clips. Like, that's how I watch Raw. Like,
yeah.
I can't sit for three.
Yeah. And then for some reason, if someone goes, dude, that was the best Raw, then the next morning when I'm at the gym, I'll go and watch the Hulu version, which is 90 minutes.
Sure. Well, and I agree with that. I used to feel an obligation to live tweet Raw. Especially when Josh from the Steel Cage, he would do it. And then when he would kind of have to step down for one reason or another, I would kind of step in. And like, those were usually my nights that I disliked Raw the most, because for the most part, even if I watched it on Monday, I always kind of wait. Like, I'll wait an hour after it starts. And that way I have a considerable amount of commercials to fast forward through. And we're all family men here. You know, you got to take care of yourself. You got cooking to do. Yeah, you got stuff. I don't sit there and watch every minute of it like a good drama. You know, I try to, you know, pay attention a little closer to the good matches, but there's times where I'm cooking and I'm doing other stuff and I'm listening to it, I'm paying attention, but I'm not watching every minute of it. I would find it impossible to watch it like that live with commercials and the whole nine, especially watching both nights. And I mean, just for me up for the podcast is very difficult. But yeah. I think too, that's why I enjoyed what Lucha Underground did so much in season 3. I think season 3 of Lucha Underground was longer than I expected it to be. It was far more entertaining than I expected, and I enjoyed a lot of it. Like, for me, my experience was really weird because I went to the finale taping before I saw any of what happened during the season.
Oh, man.
So I basically had no clue to what the hell was going on. And then I, you know, but then I got to take the ride and watch it. Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. Like to come in and see those gorgeous banners hung up with so many faces that I had no idea were even there. I'm like, oh, Paul London. Wait.
You're like, holy shit, Aaron. Yeah,
totally. Right.
Yeah.
What mask is that Puma's wearing? You know, like it was crazy. It blew my mind. And I enjoyed the storytelling and I enjoy what Lucha Underground is. Like, Lucha Underground is a thing that you can kind of get lost in. You can watch it. There are some ridiculous moments. Like, nothing's perfect. And Lucha Underground is one of those things that's obviously like anything else. It's not perfect. There's those moments in Lucha Underground where you're like, come on, really? But then they make it overall so beyond belief that you don't really get caught up in.
But here's
it,
like,
you know what I mean?
You know, but here's like, I don't even remember if I talked to you about this. I probably did talk to you about this, but yeah. To me, like the whole crazy, everyone mentions, oh, well, this guy, this, and you know, there's space aliens, and I'm like, yeah, but that's to me, it makes sense because that's the part of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It's like if you have space, like if you're watching The Sopranos and all of a sudden there's a space alien, you're like, dude, that makes no fucking sense. Like, that's the dumbest thing I ever seen.
Right.
But if you're watching The X-Files and all of a sudden there's a space alien, you're like, okay, cool, this is going to be a good episode.
Right, right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so to me, it's like, okay, there's Raw, which is like, you know, the more serious, you know, wrestling. And then there's Lucha Underground. Well, yes, people die and people have, there could be space aliens. And the quicker people just be like, you know what, Lucha Underground is those kind of shows, then they should just... then it'll be, they'll enjoy it more and they'll relax. Like you can't, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's, but then at the same time, WWE is 100% serious, you know, and they do like new stories and stuff. And then they'll have their own weird, dumb shit, like fucking Braun Strowman. Like how the hell is that supposed to even like make any sense coming out of the garbage?
He's
two
the
weeks later.
Trash man, Braun Strowman.
He's super shredder.
Yeah. He's
literally.
I don't see a problem. He's super shredder.
Yeah, no, he told, like, I was like, dude, it's a toxic Avenger. Like, he lived in the garbage and, like, survived for 2 weeks. And then so, are we to believe that he was in the garbage over, you know, two weeks ago and then traveled cross country because they went to a different city and then managed to go to the same dumpster, garbage truck and tell the guy back it up?
No, he was in the garbage truck the whole time. He never left the garbage truck.
So,
he was there the whole time.
So who's driving the garbage truck?
The Undertaker.
You know what I mean? Like,
spoiler alert.
Guys, please. Yeah, like, guys, like, okay, guys, please, seriously. This is serious. You know, Lucha Underground's piece, you know, it's stupid. This is serious. I'm like, how is that serious? Did he transport himself? Like, was the dump truck following, like, the bus?
I think what they should were have
started
do.
Raw like they, how they started Ninja Turtles 2 with Shredder's hand coming out of the garbage like at the dump. They totally should have started Raw like that. It would have been fucking hilarious.
I would have loved it. I would have loved it.
And like every now and then, like you see like a barge coming in through the bay, and it's like you can see it's like Braun Strowman. I'm like, dude, come. But I mean, like stuff like. But everyone was like, oh well. You know, that's just. But they're like, oh, you know what, dude, Vinny, just calm down. It's cool. I'm like, all right, fine. It was cool. It's a cool moment. Well, then, why are you guys complaining that?
Maybe Braun's a zombie low key, and we just don't know yet. Just saying.
Zombie low key sounds awesome, actually.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing that I want to see now. Like I want both of those things.
He kicks people really hard. Yeah, zombie low key. Zombie homicide.
People with his leg.
Yeah, zombie SATs. That would be awesome.
Now, see, like, it's funny because what you made me think of there is a period of time, like, after WCW folded, after the stupid invasion that didn't work, and after the stars in WWE started to go away, like, we saw less of Austin and less of Undertaker and such like that. I remember there being a period of time where it was, like, a bunch of just jabronis that were, like, using, like, regular guy names, and... All their gimmicks were like that they were like super athletic and super fit. And I remember how much that was the rise of the John Cena time, right around that time. And I just hated it so much. Like I hated that the biggest stars were John Cena and Randy Orton. It was so boring and lame to me. Like, I missed the days of, you know, just everything being ridiculous. I missed the days of WWE.
Repo Man.
Doink the Clown, you know, like all stuff, you know.
Well, I mean, look at Halloween just passed, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Look who, you know, all the people that were dressing up as wrestlers, who did they dress up as?
Classic wrestlers, because they're more recognizable. Know? Right.
Exactly. Classic wrestlers. Yeah, and then Undertaker. If not, there was like, yeah, there was like Sasha Banks because, she's got like a purple, you know, wig or whatever. You know what I mean? But there was very, you know, like who the demon was like who like the, I saw more demons than anybody
yes.
else. I did not see one person.
Right.
I did not see one person dress up as Finn Balor or, you know what I mean, or Randy Orton. You know what I mean? Because they were all dressing up as Bray Wyatt or.
Right,
demons. Like,
Ryan,
you know,
Ryan Satin's girlfriend
is
the only one I can think of that dressed up as John Cena. But yes, for the most part, absolutely.
But you know, because they were doing a couples thing.
Right, right.
But you know what I mean? And then obviously because you know that's you know he's a big you know big superstar and you got you know obviously you got the he's kind of easy to put on. I mean that's kind of like a
yeah.
That's an easy outfit. All you have to do is buy his shirt.
Yeah, just shoot.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Smart.
But I'm saying is like nobody dressed up as, you know, like if you think, you know, what I mean, like it's the other the normal rest, like Dolph Ziggler. Like nobody dressed up as Dolph Ziggler.
No, yeah,
you
right.
You know what I mean?
But if they dressed up as Dolph Ziggler, they'd be dressing up as Shawn Michaels.
So. Pretty okay, but even Shawn Michaels, I've never seen anybody really dress up as Shawn Michaels.
Right.
There was this one girl that
wait. Johnny Gargano. He posted pictures of himself as a kid dressed up as Shawn Michaels.
Okay, but let me rephrase that. It's not as popular as I mean shit, dude. Everyone. I mean, when I was a kid, I dressed up as Road Warrior Hawk.
Yeah.
You know it's not like anybody dressed up as you know first name last name. You know, like Randy Orton. Like nobody dresses up like that. It's because they want those. You know, larger than life, you know, superstars and those, you know, like look at, you know, when they go to costumes or Comic Cons, you know, people dress up like, they don't dress up like, the Punisher as much as they do as, you know, Spider-Man or Superman.
Deadpool and Harley Quinn.
Exactly.
That's what you're going to see. 1,000 right. Deadpools and 1,000 Harley Quinns. And it's kind of like WWE stuff. You're absolutely right. Like, I mean, what you were definitely meaning in the context of modern-day superstars is you're absolutely right. The one consistent is Finn Balor because of the face paint, because of the larger-than-life character, because of how recognizable it is once you see him. You know, walking around in a pair of underwear isn't going to get, you know, the vibe that you're Randy Orton with a bunch of skull tattoos on your shoulders and whatever. You know,
I think
right.
I get like, a pretty solid vibe.
Right. It's going to be. And before we move
you'll
on.
You'll get a vibe.
Oh, yeah, you'll get a vibe. I got to give a shout out to because it's Erica Steiner, by the way. I said earlier Ryan's girlfriend, and I know she'll kick me in the nuts for referring to her simply as
like
Ryan's girlfriend.
Like she listens.
Like
please,
she,
come on.
Someone will tell her. Someone will tell her because that's how people are, and they're terrible.
I will.
People.
Thank
but, you,
know, you, Erica.
Yeah,
for shout out to Erica. Yeah, shout out to Erica and Erica's boyfriend, whatever his
yes,
name is.
Whatever that guy's name is. Screw him.
Is his last name Satan or Satin?
It's Satan. Just call Satan? Him Satan. Yeah.
The devil.
It's
I don't really converse with Ryan that much, so like, all, I'm,
yeah.
nothing, no disrespect, but that's hilarious.
Oh, no disrespect.
It's
but
Satan.
Satan or
but call
Satan?
Him Satan.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. No disrespect.
I'm
just going to
call him Satan anyway.
Call him Satan to his face.
Just remember, he's the guy. He's the guy that runs the pro wrestling shit website.
Ah.
Right? Isn't that it? Person shit? Right?
That's how, yeah, that's, yes. Yes, with your accent,
okay,
just
yes. Making sure.
Yes. So,
I love you, Ryan. Calm down. Jesus Christ.
So,
Ryan's going to block me so fast.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're done. It's a wrap for you. There's going to be a story coming up that magically, that you're going to fall into some sort of scandal, and I'm not going to be surprised at all.
City of Sorrow, I'll eat strawberry pizza.
Yep.
It's the pro wrestling sheet. Nobody's going to remember. Nobody's going to, like, you know, think it's true anyway. It's
terrible.
It's all dirt.
Terrible.
It's all TMZ bullshit. Who cares?
All right. So let's talk about your beloved Lucha Underground. Now, what's going on? Do you guys think that there – do you think there's going to be a season 4? Is there is the lack of word concerning – I'm sure it is concerning to everybody, but it just seems like it's really hard to let – that go? It seems like it's such a great show.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, here's the way I look at it, because everyone keeps asking me, like, do I know 100%? No, I know I don't know. And the reason why is because it's all done inside an office, you know, with a bunch of, you know, TV execs. Right. They're the ones. That's it. Like, literally, has nothing to do with any of the wrestling, you know, personnel or anything like that. It's all up to
it's a television show, technically, and it's being treated as such.
Right now, exactly. Right now, it has nothing to do with any of us. It all has to do with the people funding MGM and whatever other company. So I have no idea. As far as I know, from the last thing that I've talked to people, which was very, wasn't that long ago, was that it is happening, we should be hearing some kind of news soon.
Well, that's good.
That's the last thing I've heard. Yeah. Obviously, it could be like, the TV execs just said F you, and that could be like tomorrow. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And also there could be like, oh, hey, you know, everything's fine. To me, I don't, like, everyone's like, oh, well, they're losing money. They can't do it because it's losing money. Oh, number one, we don't lose money because we have a budget. You know, it's not like they're like, hey, all right, let's do this Lucha Underground because we need to make money. Nobody did that. Right. You know, it was funded. It has a budget. So we have that. Just, you know, and then it was like, well, El Rey doesn't want to spend any money. Well, they just spent a shit ton of money on making that Bushido show, which is pretty much, you know, MMA in Thailand and, you know, being aired everywhere. They're flying people in. They're having MMA matches, MMA sanctions, you know, inside like a studio audience with a bunch of shit. So if they don't want to spend money, they're showing a weird way, you know, weird way of showing it.
Right.
And then three, I mean, let's keep it real. How many, you know, we all see the Lucha Underground ratings. Is there anything on the network that does anything remotely like that?
Oh no, not at all. And I don't think they're going to, unless, like, obviously other original content could eventually become popular like that. But with what they're doing currently, no, not at all. Right. There's no point.
So, like,
no,
why would they get rid of? Yeah. So why would they get rid of, like, you know, their number one show,
right?
Or a show that literally is known for that channel, you know. Also, if you were, you know, Mark Burnett or Robert Rodriguez, would you let that, like, fold? Would you let that disappear? Because I mean, if you do that, that's pretty much you have failed. That's the way I look at it.
Do you feel like the uncertainty about season four is what caused, like, because I don't know, it seemed like everything was rolling along really good for Lucha Underground, and then it seemed like midway through season three there just seemed to be a lot of negativity about it out there from talent, from people, from whatever. I mean, it seemed like the opinion changed on a dime about it. Yeah. And it took me by surprise.
Right. I think what happened is, I mean, you know, I know a lot of the talent out, you know, obviously I wasn't one of those people, but I think what happened with the talent is that they quickly realized that this is not a wrestling show, it's a TV show. And just from the very beginning, like the very first week I was there, and they all had a meeting, like, guys, this is not a wrestling show, this is a TV show. So it's going to be run like a TV show. But at the same time, you know, I think, you know, some of the wrestlers were like, oh man, we're blowing up. We're going to start doing live shows. We're going to start doing, you know, we're going to go cross country and, like, you know,
tour
video
and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do tour and all that stuff. Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That part, you know, I think I don't know who was in charge or what happened, but that part did not happen, which I do wish it would have happened, but it did not.
Yeah.
So I think with the combination of no tours in the middle, no house shows in between that, and the fact that the network, who's in charge, and everybody quickly realized, holy shit, they were right, it is a TV show. The network decided, you know what, we're not going to have Lucha Underground go all the way because we need to take a break because we have other shows that we're planning and we're working on.
Right.
And we would like to have the season ending of Lucha Underground correspond with the season, you know, premiere of other shows.
Sure, 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 sure. Like
which
you
is,
said, they
you know,
do it like is, a TV show where they could film
is,
it
know,
two years
in
advance and then show it
exactly.
eventually. Right.
Which happens all the time, you know, like,
yeah.
Game of Thrones is video, they recorded it for like long, and then like, okay, let's start Game of Thrones from this and end it here, because when it ends here, we have a whole other show that HBO wants to plug.
Yeah, they're not gonna do the same. It would be like Boardwalk Empire, and then once Boardwalk Empire is over, it's Game of Thrones. Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like you said, it coincided right with the next show and whatever. And sometimes, it seems like they've been more consistent, but sometimes, especially with those type of HBO shows, for example, it used to be forever in between, forever. Like from one season to the next. You waited forever, it seemed like. So it was one of those things, but I was surprised. Like, I went to, the season finale taping was in June of last year, and they just finally showed it. And I was surprised by how long it took for it to air.
Oh yeah, I think the problem is that we're not used to that as a wrestling show,
right?
You know, like other TV shows, that does happen. And, I was watching, do you guys watch Game of Thrones at all by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay. You know that one scene where the dragons are coming in and they're like they burn all that whole, they have the army there and they get burned, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they had. The Tonight Show, one of those CBS shows, they were showing that scene, and one of the actors was there, and he was sitting and watching it, and the guy was like asking, was like, what do you think? It's like, oh no, well, I'm gonna see it for the first time too. It's like, you haven't seen it? He goes, oh no, man, I don't remember. It was 2.5 years ago when they filmed it,
right.
And I was like, totally. Holy shit, 2.5 years ago. So right. Like literally, so the guy had no idea. You know, like he doesn't even remember what was happening. Like where he, because asked him, like where were you anywhere near here? And he's like, oh, I don't remember. I think it was 2.5 years ago. I don't remember. So stuff like this does happen.
Oh, that dragon right there, that CGI dragon, that was just a dude with like little balls on his head chasing us around a field. Like that's all that was. And
right. And like he didn't even remember because I think they asked him where they filmed it. So the guy didn't even remember because it was like 2.5 years ago or whatever. So the problem is, the thing is that it. Wrestling and they don't consider it like a TV show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think too they're comparing it with season one because season one, I don't know if you guys were ever go to those shows. Season one, like they would tape a show and then like a month later they would air it.
Right. Right. Yeah. It seemed like
the turnaround was way quicker.
Way quicker. Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And that was that, and that was much different. And you bring up not touring, and it's funny because it seemed like the touring events, the few ones that they did. Were a pretty big success. Like they didn't do any shows particularly. It was always like with
they
something
did
else.
By Southwest, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, yes. And that was very cool. And they did. They brought it here to the State Fair in Phoenix, and that was awesome. I mean, it was just cool. It was different, but it still just totally had the same Lucha Underground vibe. They did such a good job of bringing that with it. I was surprised not to see like you were saying most of the talent was. My favorite thing, though, and I wanted to talk to you about this briefly, is how great is it for the masked wrestlers to be masked wrestlers? Because I watched Cage and I believe it was Melissa Santos and Taya and Johnny walk away together from the event after the show while we were wrapping everything up. And they got mobbed, obviously, on the way because mostly... The between Johnny and Brian, they just scream attention, look at us, and then when people realize,
Brian fucking Cage,
right?
Yeah, yeah, Brian's a little different. You can always spot him because he's got like he's carrying the 5 bags of lunch that he has in the bag.
Yes,
the bag,
that too. But my favorite part about it,
he's literally the Hulk.
Was Drago and Aerostar were there, and they basically just got undressed, put on regular clothes, slapped on ball caps, and walked out, and nobody said a goddamn thing to them. And all I could think was like, man, what a great life a luchador has. A masked luchador has a really cool life because they can choose to be like themselves whenever they want. And then they can just do this because no one in a million years would have guessed those two guys were who they were.
Honestly, it is cool because I can either confirm or deny that I do wrestle elsewhere. As a mass wrestler.
Oh, and when shit.
And when I do wrestle with the mask, it's great because sometimes I'll wrestle like the first match, second match with the mask.
Yeah.
And then just go change and go sit in the audience and like eat nachos and like everyone's like, oh my God, it's so awesome. And they have no clue.
Yeah.
Like the best is when they start talking about like, oh, that one match in the beginning, blah, 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 was so awesome. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll let him know in the back or something, or, you know.
Yeah.
But awesome. No, yeah, it is cool being, you know, of course, you know, there are drawbacks like Phoenix and Pentagon, because now they literally have to wear a mask everywhere because everyone just recognizes them by their tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Phoenix walked into PWG without his mask on. And I was
everyone's like Phoenix.
I was like, yep, that's him. Yeah, like there was no doubt in my mind. Yeah. Like it was just instantly
I mean, Pentagon's covered in, you know, Cerro Miedo, so everyone's like, oh, she's like, he literally has to put it on as soon as he is anywhere near. Yeah. Which is, you know, it's just fine. I mean, you know, there's old timers like Mil Mascaras and Blue Demon. I mean, they literally like walk into the building with and walk out without it. Like, they drive away with the mask on. So
But I get it though, and I mean, and that's the thing is like guys like Penta and Phoenix, they've made a really big name on Lucha Underground. They've really had a successful run. They're really talented guys. But the beautiful thing about Lucha Underground is it helped guys like them, you know, really become like kind of household names in the States. Even though their names are constantly having to change because of all sorts of crazy reasons, you know, but when it comes to like the Lucha season 4, do you see it being vastly different with some of the changes of talent and things like that if it does go on? Or do you think some of the guys that we might like that we might be worried about not returning might come back if there is a season 4 announced, or do you think that there'll be a lot of change?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Who would you
be worried about coming?
Yeah,
me
exactly.
Personally,
like, who?
Like Ricochet.
Just say it out.
Prince Puma, you know.
Oh, Ricochet's not coming back.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I don't think he's coming back.
Right, and Johnny, and a lot of the people that have moved on.
Johnny
to,
Impact.
Yeah, Johnny.
No, Johnny's coming. No, Johnny's coming. Johnny's. No. That's the Johnny's coming back.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's kind of people that seem to have moved on in their career.
Okay. Ricochet lost the match. He's never allowed to fight in the temple. Come on. Come on, Derek.
Yeah, sorry. You're right. No, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking about.
I mean,
that.
What are you trying to? I mean, listen.
To
my head. My head.
The storylines here.
Dude, kids fizz, man.
Yeah, my jefe will not go back on that. So yeah, Prince Puma is not allowed to fight in the temple.
That was an emotional night. I cried that night. So there was a lot. I forgot a lot of what. Hey.
Anyways, I seriously don't think Ricochet is coming back. But who knows? It's wrestling. Honestly, it's 2017 wrestling. There's fucking, you know, Bubba Ray Dudley was in WWE and then went ROH like the next weekend. Like,
yeah.
Like literally, it's fucking wrestling in 2017.
I watched the Hardy Boys wrestle at ROH and then WrestleMania the next night.
Exactly.
So
I mean,
you never know
like,
what the fuck's gonna happen.
I have no idea. Like, literally, like, I'm like, no clue what's happening. Well, like, everyone's like, I have no idea.
Here's what I'll say, though, and this was kind of my point about even the loss or attrition that could be happening, or even if some people don't come back, is Lucha seems like it's always been really good at generating stars. Because with how big the stars are that have come from there, you think of where they were at when the show started, and I'm not going to say they were nothing, but the guys that were on that show since the beginning now have become like the biggest names in indie wrestling in the United States.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, think about Jeff Cobb before, you know.
Oh God, I love
before
Jeff
Lucha
Cobb
Gunner.
So much.
I mean, I think
yes.
like, you know, I mean he was a great wrestler, but he definitely wasn't getting that kind of you know, wasn't wrestling every single weekend. And you know, like literally he came out for Aztec Warfare, and like the next weekend he started getting like outside booking.
Yeah, he's,
you know what I mean? Like,
before
that he was the same wrestler, same dude.
Sure, he just got the attention. He got put on notice.
Shit. So
yeah.
it's like, you can't tell me, oh well, you know, it's Lucha Underground does nothing. I mean, come on now, you know what I mean? It's obvious. You know, you can tell what's going on. With the question with anybody that. Anybody that goes that's wrestling on Impact, I don't consider them leaving because they're doing, from what I understand, there's like a joint, like it's almost like a loner thing, like
right
like
with
in,
AAA?
Like in soccer. No, with Lucha. Guess now it's the same thing with the same thing with Lucha Underground contracts.
Okay,
from what I understand.
Well, that's cool. That's smart on Impact's part, because I feel like they've actually done a good job at bringing in like, you know, that whole global force kind of vision they had, they've done a good job of, like, having matches in others, you know, other countries and doing a lot of stuff that I think is kind of smart. Like, I really do. I'm not a big fan of I haven't been a big fan of a lot of things they've done, but lately it seems like they finally have it on track to be really interesting and to showcase guys like, I think so. I like who they're focusing on. I like the fact that they're focusing on guys like Trevor Lee and Desmond Xavier. I like the fact that they're focusing on, you know, like some of these guys from AAA that they're bringing in. It's kind of fun to see them in the States. Again, it's kind of that same vibe that Lucha Underground had where they brought in names that were from AAA that, you know, then kind of got exposure here.
Sure. And it's nice to see that. I mean, obviously it's nice to still have more people. I do wish they were more consistent. You know, it's like every time I do, you know, it's like I wish, it's like you see that, oh my God, they're going the right direction, and all of a sudden they go back to how they were before. Right. And I'm like,
a new WWE star that just got fired, and we're going to push him to the moon now in front of all of these other people that we did a careful crafting of their careers. You know,
who's their champion right now?
It's Eli Drake, right?
Eli Drake. Yes, Eli Drake's their champion.
I barely even know, like.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I'm just saying for every time, you know, they go like, oh my God, they're pushing Desmond and Xavier and they're doing this, then they'll do something where I'm just like, okay, that was, what are you guys doing?
See, that's the thing for me. I'm like, they're doing that. And then I'm also like, they're pushing Desmond and Xavier. I'm not a big fan of Desmond, to be honest with you. Like, not that he's bad, like, not that he's horrible or anything like that, but I'm not like, sold like everyone else is. I think Zachary Wentz is a lot better than he is. Yeah. But that's just me.
No. I'm not even saying like wrestling was. I'm just saying, hey, they're doing something new.
Yeah, something new. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Obviously, there's wrestlers everywhere. You know, I'm not gonna be like, oh well, I like this promotion now because they're pushing my favorite wrestler. I'm not like that. I'm just saying, hey, they're going. They're stepping in the right direction because they're using new blood. And then they do that, and then all of a sudden I look, and there's like, oh wait, no, they're doing exactly the same shit.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm with you, but I just like I like the OVE, I like the Chris Brothers versus the, you know, LAX. I like stuff they've been doing, and at the very least, I think that they're going.
That's in the best thing they're doing right now.
What's that?
That's the best thing they're doing right now.
Yeah, that's cool. Honestly, in my opinion, the best thing they're doing is the Grado Abyss storyline. It has been amazing to me, just because they did a stupid comedic storyline that eventually ended in a reasonable conclusion that ended with the two fighting each other from being friends. I like that. But I like the LAX Chris Brothers stuff. I think that's been great. I thought the way that they have pushed... Dave and his brother have been amazing. I think that they're doing smart things with a lot of their young talent. But like you said, you can never really trust them 100%. And that's the thing about Impact that has been consistent, is that you can't trust them. Lucha Underground, though, I always put my trust in. I didn't even think that even when stuff was ridiculous, it was bad. I think the overall crazy nature, the supernatural nature of the show, allows for even things that are kind of unbelievable to still just kind of, you don't, it's not as ridiculous as when, you know, WWE trots Finn Balor out there as the Pumpkin King. You know, it's just not, it's not in the realm of that where when you see something different, it seems so ridiculous. Even when it's...
No, I really can't believe they had this dude come out like a fucking pumpkin. Like, that's
wild.
Yeah,
man. I mean, like, you know, that's...
Why? I think I get it. There's a little connection to these things like Jack-o'-lanterns and Ireland.
No. I mean, I get it. It's not so much that the outrageous crap they do. It's to me, it's the inconsistency they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they do, like, okay, they'll have... You know, like Shane McMahon, you know, takes a giant cage thing, or somebody, you know, takes a big bump and they're hurt, like they're legit hurt. Or they show, you know, Seth Rollins being, you know, having ligaments because he got, you know, oh, here's a video of him and, you know, his knee tore and here's the surgery. And then like a week later, they show, you know, they show Braun Strowman getting, you know, inside a garbage truck. It's not consistent.
Murder.
That's the only thing that I don't like about it, is that they're not consistent with it. You know, they'll go, okay, well, you know, they'll show real, you know, realistic stuff, and then they'll show, they'll have like normal, like, you know, television. I'm like, well, you can't do both. You know, right. you can't go out and be like, okay, hey, this is Stephanie McMahon, I'm the boss's daughter. You know, this is it. You know, you can't have, this angle happened because they're best friends and because they're, you know, in real life or whatever. And then, like, have another storyline that, you know, Kane is upset at Finn Balor because he's the devil's favorite son.
Right. I murdered more people than you did. How dare you say you murdered more people than I did? Right.
You know what I mean? It's like,
did you see me electrify someone by the balls before, right, sir?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, like, they'll have that storyline. And then at the same time, and the next day, they had a storyline about, you know, Kevin and Sammy, you know, and they're going down a realistic path.
Right.
So it's like, to me, it reminds me
in the late 90s, one of the biggest criticisms is like where they would have people take 12 chair shots and get up from it, yet one nut shot would end a match. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no, yeah. They, well, to me, it was like,
shit like that.
I think my favorite example is when they had like the Raw where they had Chyna and Jeff Jarrett feuding, where like Jeff Jarrett was beating the shit out of Chyna, like hitting her with the guitar and everything. And then like the very next angle, they were doing and domestic abuse angle with, you know, one of the headbangers.
My God.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
how tone deaf are you of your own like programming and what you're doing?
Like they had a thing where she came out with bruises, and it's like, you know, oh, he hit me, and like everyone like was upset at him that he hit his girlfriend, and then like the very next pay per view is like Jeff Jarrett is beating shit out of Chyna with like a fucking guitar. I'm like, what do you guys? I go, you guys share like ideas, or you guys just have five different writers and shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
that aren't talking to each other and aren't planning anything out. Right.
You know, no, like you gotta have a flow of the show. So right. I don't know. That's just to me.
And going back to Lucha Underground, I'll say that's one thing I've appreciated about watching the show has been the fact that, like, especially when this season was wrapping up, it felt so good to see so many like long-term stories kind of come to a head. I felt like they did such a good job of, like, if you've been watching since the first episode of season one, you really went on a cool ride to where they were at. They didn't forget stuff that's happened in the past. They incorporated it into, you know, even here we are like 70-100 episodes down the line, however many episodes we're in, and they're still, you know, they're still doing it.
Right.
Did you say 70-100?
No, I said 70, 100, whatever.
Oh, I thought you said 70. Yeah,
I don't know where we're at. I know there was like 40 in this season alone, so I don't know.
It was 100 episodes total, yeah. Yes,
100 total, right.
So that's what a good TV show does, you know, is, you know, and, you know, I love the fact that every show, they remind you, like, Game of Thrones, you know, like, they have, you know, how Game of Thrones shows, like, in season one, you know, right. this happened, and then it has something to do with the episode. I enjoy it, you know, it to me is interesting, because fans are smart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem, is that WWE thinks they're not. You know, there's fans that come up to me and be like, you know, like I'll mention on Twitter or something that, you know, Pentagon is like, I say like, oh, what do you think about Pentagon? It's like, oh, Pentagon's a really good, you know, is a really good wrestler. And then people go, yeah, but he broke your arm. I'm like, okay, that's a good point. But, you know, it's fans remember that. You know,
fair,
what I mean?
Fair. He did break my arm. However, I deserved it. I deserve
right,
it.
But yeah, exactly. But my point is that fans will remember that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like WWE would have like Pentagon breaking my arm, and then like a week later, me and Pentagon are tag team, because right. they'll have people they were feuding with, like they'll like Triple H is now in the Shield. I'm like,
yeah,
it's the Shield now.
Like, if I remember correctly, now, you know, I don't follow WWE too hard, you know, too closely, but the whole reason why Seth Rollins left the Shield was to join Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how the fuck is he joining the Shield mm-hmm. now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's just a house show thing. I think it's just for fun. You know,
Dad's just having some fun. No, it's not a house show, because WWE is showing it all over the place. Mm.
That is true. Once they start exploiting it. But that's part of the problem, right, with WWE, is that they don't treat it necessarily like it's a continuous television program anymore. They treat it like whatever they want to, whenever they want to, and that's like, that's your point about the consistency, right?
Right.
I mean, I get that way where they like when they'll go on a 2 or 3 week run where they'll actually end the show with something interesting, you know, and then all of a sudden it seems like then the next pay per view will pass, and then they'll just go right back to this weird house show thing where Raw just ends with the six faces facing off or the three faces facing off against the three heels, and none of it had any meaning or any purpose. They just figured out a way to throw them together throughout the course of the night, just like you would at a house show. You know,
house shows.
Yes. So I don't know. Okay. What'd you say?
I'm just saying. You mean like New Japan house shows? It's the same exact thing.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Well, and that's the thing is, I expect that out of a house show. I don't expect that out of a television show, and that's the difference here as to what Raw has become versus what it was at one point. And I think that's why Lucha, once again, is so much fun to watch and rewatch. I couldn't imagine myself going back and rewatching Raws over the last 2 years. Like, I really couldn't. But
I'd rather die.
Right? Especially once the 3 hours started. Oh, my God. Like, I found out that was like, that's like 7 years ago or something.
Back
now,
I might consider. But Raw, I don't watch that shit. Like,
dude, I don't imagine going back and watching Raw when they were having the guests like Bob Barker and Drew Carey and all those people as guest hosts. Holy shit!
I would watch those segments and that's it. That's all I would want to watch. That's it.
Right, but they were just like, remember they had the Grumpy Cat. I'm like just like they had like Steve-O and there were like, terrible jackass. Guests.
Right. Yeah, see, like, the ones you named were the cool ones, but then when you start getting into the real ones, like these, the 3 weeks in between the cool ones, yeah. The one after and before Snoop Dogg, that kind of stuff, yeah, no, those are, I'm not interested at all.
I've watched Kevin Owens powerbomb Machine Gun Kelly on, like, an hour loop, though.
Oh, that, well,
but
yes.
Okay, but that's the part, but no, but, and that's fine, though, but I'm talking about, like, in the middle of like, you know, the between the hour one and two when they're like, hey, Machine Gun Kelly, it's The Miz. All right, go to the ring. Yo, homie, go and gain the ring. You're fighting Santino.
Or LeVar Ball coming out and ruining everything. Oh, God. Yes, so.
Wait, man. But we got LaMelo Ball. And that was the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yeah, like, dropping the N-bomb. Oh, yeah,
that was the best.
That ensured that they will never be invited back.
So Luke, LaMelo Ball.
Really, really enjoyable.
Shout out to a real hero on Twitter because he's literally become a LeVar Ball
fan account. You know,
that's all it is. It's just a fan account for LeVar. I'm like,
I'm down for the big baller, man. I don't know.
Big baller, life. Come on. I had really important questions though before we go. No, really important questions and they're pizza related.
Are you gonna fight? Are you gonna challenge me to fight?
Wait, I have one really important question to my heart.
What?
Oh, please do.
Vinny, did you get to meet Io Shirai?
So what now?
I said, did you get to meet Io Shirai?
No, I did not. I was not there that episode. Trust me, I hated that I missed it.
His profile picture would be that if he did.
Oh, I mean, I would be like, you know, she's my best friend. I'd be like at her. I'd be like, I'd be mentioning her every single day, like how Osprey mentions Kairi Sane.
Right. Oh, my friend Io Shirai. One time, she told me that like ketchup's really good on French fries.
Right. I'd be like, she'd be like, oh my god, check out this moonsault. Like, huh. Hey, remind you of anybody, you know, Io Shirai, my friend from a long time ago?
Wow, looks familiar.
Yeah, like, oh man, this is a really good piece of steak. Oh, remember that one time me and you were at catering? Best friend of the world? Yeah. Yes. I would do that. Every single tweet. Happening. But I will make it awkward, though, for sure. So,
okay, I would not.
Perfect. No, I just wanted to see, I wanted to hear about his top-ranked pizza. What's the top-ranked pizza right now?
Of all time?
Of all time. Just in general. Like, what's your top-ranked pizza?
My number one favorite would be margarita. Okay. My home, you know, back in my hometown. See, the thing here is like, everyone keeps mentioning about toppings and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Back in my hometown of Sicily, mm-hmm. we very, very rarely use toppings. Toppings are more of like a, you know, American thing. So in Italy, pretty much, in Italy, you get you know, it's the bread and the sauce. That's why I always mention about the sauce, because it's literally the sauce is what makes it.
The best part.
Okay. It's like literally the best part. So, you know, that's what you want. And margarita, just like a little bit of basil and a little bit of olive oil, and it just tastes really good. But in Italy, we use very little cheese. It's just little dollops of mozzarella.
Yeah.
And we use, you know, margarita is the main thing, but there's also other toppings. But when I came to, you know, the United States, that's when I started having toppings and stuff like that.
Experimenting.
To me, salami is my favorite topping.
Okay. See, you know, what's funny is we have a pizzeria here that's really well known for being like true Italian pizzeria, right? And that's the one thing that I found, you know, kind of funny when I went there the first time is it was like, there is no pepperoni on this menu. There is no sausage on this menu. It was like different kinds of prosciutto and salamis and
pretty much.
You know, it wasn't anything. It was stuff like that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we have in Sicily, it's pretty much a lot of the, you know, a lot of sauces, and it's like salami we use a lot of, and just straight up margarita, and then, you know, a little bit of ham.
Had a pizza outside of Sicily that compared to Sicily? Have you ever had pizza? Are your top pizzas in Sicily? Or you ever had one outside that you can?
No. I haven't been to Sicily in a long, long time. So,
sure.
I mean, I've eaten. I remember. You know, it's funny. I had a New York slice and I wasn't really impressed because it was really big and it was just, I don't know. It was just too doughy, I guess. I wasn't maybe I went to the wrong spot, but.
Possibly,
you know,
yeah.
It's honestly, to be honest with you, man, you gotta be a real dumbass to get pizza wrong. So I mean, I'll pretty much eat any kind of pizza.
I'm with you.
So I'm not like, oh God, you know. That's why I'm like, people like, Vinny, I can't believe you like pineapple and pizza. I'm like, I never said that I like it. I'm not gonna like 100% choose it, but I swear to God, if it's there. I'm not going to be like, oh, no, please get this away from me. I'm disgusted. You're the Nazi, you know. I'm like.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's.
Yeah, well, that's me too. You. I am too.
I'm just like, yo, I will not eat it. Like, I'm sorry. I can't. Like, I'm like, I'm good.
And that's fine. And I get it. But at the same time, I've had it where it was, like, really good. Where I had it where it was, you know, Canadian bacon. And it's not like. Trust me, I've seen like, Hawaiian pizza where it's just like, dude, you literally just put chunks of. Pineapple, giant chunks everywhere.
Yes.
That's
how the one I had. It was terrible.
That's good. That's not good. But that's not a good. That's a bad pizza. Somebody made a bad pizza.
Right.
All
it took was for me. It would took me to eat an Advil one time, thinking it was a brown M&M, for me to have trust issues for the rest of my life.
That's pretty much it. But I don't know. To me, like I said, it's really bad to get. It's really hard to get it really bad, but I'll try anything. I tried mustard on pizza, and I'll fucking try
it. You tried it.
Vinny died for our sins.
You tried it. How was it? How was the mustard on the pizza?
There's a video of it. I almost died.
Oh yeah, it's that bad, huh? I fucking hate mustard. So yeah, no,
dude,
not at all.
It had. I'm not even kidding. It's like, oh.
Are you gonna try barbecue sauce next?
I'm gonna try it, but. Like, people were like, oh, Vinny, that's not that bad. I'm like, dude, it had a weird aftertaste. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, people are like, well, it's not that bad. I mean, you've had a sandwich. You go, I've never had a sandwich with tomato sauce and cheese with mustard. I don't know what.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know where you're eating these kinds like, of sandwiches, but like, I do not eat those.
I go, you're like, well, do you like mustard? I goes, yes, on like, you know, like a French dip or something, or like, you know, like, I mean, I've had it with like on burgers, and I've had it like on hot pastrami. I love it with hot pastrami.
Sure.
But tomato sauce and mustard does not mix.
No, they don't go together.
I go, have you ever had spaghetti and spaghetti and meatballs with mustard? Because pretty much that's what you're eating when you have mustard with pizza. Yeah. They don't understand that. I'm like, okay, fine then. Well, you know, like, they don't get it, but.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you on that.
But I had it had a weird aftertaste, and I'm just, you know, it's tomato sauce. You can't really mix tomato sauce with too many stuff. Like, I don't, like, when I have a burger, I don't have ketchup and, I don't mix ketchup and mayonnaise or anything like that.
Oh,
so
you
I don't
just
know.
Go at it with one sauce on it?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I can't really do mayonnaise on a burger anyway.
Ah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you at least on the mustard. That's gross, and I don't like dipping my pizza.
Well, for why? Wow. Thank you, kind sir.
Oh, yeah.
Mustard's
no.
fine.
No.
Like, I wouldn't have it on pizza. Fuck no, but...
Yeah, get it away from my pizza. Keep it but the hell away from my pizza.
Yeah, but honestly, I would try it. It's pizza. Like, please, there's worse things to do in life, you know,
yes.
than you know. But, you know, I do like the gimmick that I have created where literally everyone just sends me their pizza stuff now. It's, yep. I love it.
You're like the Chef Ramsay of pizzas.
I love this. I appreciate it.
Judge this pizza, Vinny. Judge this
Which is
pizza.
Great. Which is, I think the best is when I went to I did a show and people started giving me slices of pizza. I think that might have been the best thing ever.
You're like, this is the moment when I realized that this gimmick has worked out for me.
No, I peaked. Like, it was like right after I did the hush, and somebody's like, hey, I made this for you. I'm like, what is it? Like a drawing? And it's like a slice of pizza. And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest gimmick of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed chatting with you and arguing with you on Twitter.
Thanks.
I hope to see Lucha Underground back. Are we going to see wrestling at other shows in the meantime? I know you're busy with other things, but are you going to be wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I like to. I'm going to be here locally in California. You know, I know, I would love to go to the East Coast, but you know, it is. I know there's, you know, flight costs and, you know, there's things that other, you know, that happen that I can't, you know, it makes it hard for me to go on the East Coast, but hopefully one day I'll get to go over there. But if anybody's near California, I'm wrestling this Friday in San Francisco as a masked wrestler, which I will make you guys guess which one I am. In the show with Taya versus Nicole Savoy, Ultimo Dragon. Ultimo Dragon's going to be there, which is going to be awesome.
Nice.
And then the day after, I'm wrestling in Stockton against, I don't know if you guys watch UFC at all or used to watch UFC in the olden days. Maybe, not
yes.
really.
Yes,
somewhat.
Okay. The olden days are my days as far as UFC goes.
Well, on Saturday, I'm wrestling in Stockton against Phil Baroni.
Oh, no way.
Okay,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Yes. That's awesome.
And then I got a couple shows, you know, obviously just, you know, look, check Twitter and, you know, I'm Snoring Elbow on Twitter. At Snoring Elbow on Twitter. And then I also have Instagram. You guys can find me. I think it's Vinny Massaro, I believe. Thanks.
See?
I think, I don't even know. He treats his
Instagram like I treat my Instagram. Yeah. Yeah. It's
Because I don't have I don't take that many pictures. Like, I mean, there's, you know, like a follow certain guys, and they're literally like.
I don't understand why I'm not on Instagram. Like at this point,
you take
like,
selfies all the time.
Yeah,
you're literally the Instagram person.
Yeah, you're. Yeah, but, no. Yeah, 100%. The filters.
That's all.
You could look so much more angelic if you use the filters on top of.
But then I'll take away from my Twitter people, though.
No,
but you can.
Because I don't want to be one of those people that links my fucking Instagram.
No, I don't. I hate doing that. I do both. Like I'll put a picture on Instagram and one on Twitter. I hate those people that are like, you go on their Twitter and it's like, hey, check out a cool story on facebook.com. Like, fuck off.
Or you're on Instagram, and then you have a private profile, and I can't click on it and actually see the thing that you're linking me to, and that makes me even angrier. Oh.
Yeah, that's annoying. Yeah. But I just want to say thank you to you two guys for always keeping me entertained. I like chatting with you guys. You guys are cool. You guys aren't, you know, the others are always. I you know ever since that Leo Rush thing, I've gotten some people that just. They literally just watch me say anything and just throw it back in my face. So
wrestling Twitter is amazing like that. It really is.
It is,
and
that's
great. And that's the thing about it though is it's kind of funny how terrible it can be at times, but then it's also amazing how great it can be. Like Mark and I were talking about how we met each other through you know this kind of thing, and you and I and Mark and all of us, we all became friends through Twitter because we all kind of are like minded and we can get along and we joke and give each other shit. And it's fun. And I really like the interactions that I have on there. And I kind of have gotten to the point, you know, there was a time where I didn't want to block people. I didn't want to be that kind of person. I didn't want to fight with people on there.
I block the shit out of people now
because I just want to hang out with people that like I like. And I'm not there to have some, like you said, some dickbag that's going to basically wait around for me to say something and then jump on it and try to make a big deal out of it.
Exactly.
Or harass me for their own amusement on Twitter or whatever. You know, that's not happening. So I'm with you. And that's what that's the good parts about it, is the fact we've made these relationships.
Oh, beautiful.
I love you.
Thank you, guys. I love you guys. All right.
Well, you can get me on Twitter if you want to have fun. If you want to fucking yell shit at me, fuck off. But if you want to get me and talk about wrestling and enjoy life, get me at @cap_caveman with a K. And you can get Mark. He is a vibrant beacon of joy and happiness. And you can follow him at @AnsonySan. Go ahead and spell it. Please spell it.
Anthony Son.
Yeah,
Anthony. Who's what? Like Anthony Son.
I say it wrong.
Anthony.
Yeah, I say it like it. Yeah, I know. Stop.
And the
mispronunciation does not help you find it at all.
No. Ansonisan. Anthony Son.
There you go.
Follow me. Love me.
Yep. Yep.
Thick lad. That's what I am. That's my life.
Thick boy.
Push the wholesome initiative. There's going to be more on that soon.
Oh, yeah. He's pushing the wholesome initiative 2018 going forward.
Yeah.
It's big.
Hey, I'm wholesome.
I think with a lot of what we've seen, we need a lot more wholesome behavior going on. So I think this is the perfect time for it. But as always, guys, all roads lead to @TheSteelCage. send me an email about Anthony or about Mark being
Anthony?
Wholesome. He was Mark Anthony for a long time.
Mark Anthony. With a K though, not with a C. I'm not like the other loser.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Shots fired all over this podcast.
I mean, if he wants to throw hands.
Like... We are starting so many beefs in the streets with this podcast. It's great. But like I said, you can email me about Mark, tell me how wholesome he is, all that kind of stuff. That's at Derek@TheSteelCage.com. Check out our t-shirt store. That is TheSteelCageShop.com. You can get one of our t-shirts. They are the king of soft style. And please pick up the Minutes with the Mayor logo tee specifically. The other ones are all right, but get our tee. That's the only
one. If I see you with a Minutes with the Mayor tee, I will buy you a drink at a show if there's a bar.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah,
that's the initiative. That is one of my initiatives. If I
wholesome
see you with
initiative
that.
Number one, we're putting that out there. If I see you with a Minutes with the Mayor T at a show, I will also buy you a drink.
Blow you.
Well, hold on.
Wow, that's pretty good, Derek.
Let's calm down here.
Derek, that's awesome.
Let's easy.
I did talk about selling myself for tacos earlier. You're gonna have
to buy me a
that's
drink
a little
for
much.
That to happen. But we'll see what
that's
happens.
That's it? Just one drink?
I'm not a hard person to find.
Good lord. You're gonna have to knock me out.
I'm gonna wrap this up now.
One drink. Oh no, I will not blow anybody. One drink. Okay, let's do it. What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm editing all this out. I'm editing all this out. I'm going to edit all this out.
Good
Lord. Right. Thank you guys so much for listening. On behalf of One Drinks, Lucha Good Underground, Lord. Vinny Massaro, Mark, Wholesomeness, fellas.
Hold on.
One drink.
Yeah. All right. All that. This week's meeting. Let's fucking wrap this up. This week's meeting is adjourned.